if you will, tonight. Please take your Bibles. We'll get into it here. And 2 Thessalonians. We have moved over to 2 Thessalonians. As we've gone through and looked at the, again, these epistles Paul wrote to the churches, primarily looking at a lot of end times issues or things that are going to come up, I believe, here very soon. And as we get into 2 Thessalonians, we're going to see him unfold and lay out for us a little bit more of what's going to take place here. Now, thinking about this, I know that it can be a little bit hard to understand, maybe a little bit laborious to go through, but I think it's very important, as Paul points out to us again here in this letter, to not be ignorant of these things. You got to know that. You should know what's going on, and you should understand it. I want to encourage you again to study this on your own and go through and look at what the Bible says about the coming days, okay? Now, 2 Thessalonians, now he continues in this writing to this church who had written to him and asked Paul about certain things. Hey, Paul, what's going on? We feel like this is happening. We don't know what's going to go on with our dead loved ones. Have we missed something? He's continuing to write to them a second time. Now, I want to just hit a few verses in chapter 1 and then get into chapter number 2. And so if you're there, notice we'll get down to verse 3 of chapter 1 in 2 Thessalonians. He says, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet in the Lord. Now, as it is meet means as it is right. It's the right thing to do. Because that your faith, groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abound. There's certain areas where we ought to pray for people, but when you see somebody doing something right, we talked about this last week, you pray for them. We believe in a principle called give honor to whom honor is due. Give respect to whom respect is due. Again, you may not like the pastor very much, but again, try your best to honor the office, okay? You may not like somebody in the church or per se, whatever. For children, they don't like mom and dad all the time. They usually don't want to do what they tell them to do. Our kids are, all these kids in here tonight are just perfect, aren't they? They always obey. But you think about, but they're doing it. Why? Because it's commanded in Scripture. Well, I don't want to do it, but I'll go ahead and do it. So we think about, Paul says, now Paul didn't, he greatly loved these people, but he's saying, notice, we're bound to thank God for you. Now I want to encourage you to look past some people's personality and look, are they faithful? Yeah. Do they love the Lord? Yes. Are they faithful in their marriage? Yeah. Are they good people? Yes. Thank God for them. Amen. Thank God. And thank God for those people. You may not agree with them, some of their decisions they make and other things, but notice what he says. Your faith groweth exceedingly. Your charity aboundeth toward each other. What a wonderful thing. The growth of this church, so that we ourselves, verse 4, glory in you, in the churches of God, in other churches. He talks about who they are. He really encourages other churches by their faith. For your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Now again, this is referring to the present tense tribulations. He's not talking about the tribulation. Some people read this and say, well, he's talking about you're going to go through the tribulation. That's what he means. No, he meant you can read it in the context. He's talking about their current tribulation. We are appointed thereunto. Again, as Paul mentioned that, he told Timothy, I invite you to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. That's not a very sweet invitation. I don't want to do that. But he says that we're appointed unto those things, those trials, tribulations, those things that will endure. Okay. Now again, just talking about that current tribulation they're in. Verse 5, a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. You may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. He goes through some things. He says, those that are troubled, verse 7, rest with us. Come rest with us. All on and on, and talks about some things. I'd encourage you to read the rest of that on your own. But I want to get into chapter number 2 because he begins now. He's going to talk about that latter day event and the individual who's going to arise out of the ashes to become a great ruler over the entire world. Okay, now, so the chapter 1 is really an encouraging, an edification type of thing. And now he says, now notice chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So he's going to talk about primarily two things. Our gathering together, what do we call that? Right, the rapture, the catching up, and his return. Okay, so thinking through this now. that ye be not soon shaken in mind, troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Now, there was a letter put out that was forged, and they put Paul's name on it. And they put it out, and it was false doctrine. It was heretical. And they said, did you know that you are going to go through this time and that you, your dead loved ones, are not going to be resurrected with us? It was a forged letter. That's what he says, as letter as from us. So we got to be careful about that. Now again, coming back to what he said in 1 Thessalonians we read last week, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. If you get a letter and it's not biblical in what they're saying, you know it. I have a standard with which I prove things, the Word of God. So he says, don't be shaken, don't be scared, don't be troubled by these things that are going to happen. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now the day he's talking about, I believe personally, is the second coming of the Lord. Okay? So before Jesus comes back, there's two things that are going to happen. That of being the falling away, the great apostasy, and the sin, the man of sin, is revealed. Who is that? The Antichrist, okay? Now think about that. That's what he's saying. That day, there it is, shall not come. So we understand this as we already went through. We believe in that pre-tribulational rapture of the church, okay, again. So thinking about this, the tribulation, again, is not for the church. It is for Israel. Depending on what you believe about dispensations and other things. We do not believe in something that's called and very prevalent today called replacement theology. That means that people take Israel, and since Jesus basically, they say, rejected Israel, well, they rejected him, therefore he rejected them, he replaced it with the church. You'd be hard-pressed to really find that in the Scripture. You've got to really add stuff to the Scriptures and really kind of make up some stuff to make that fit. We don't believe in replacement theology. We believe there's two distinct things, Israel and the church, right? The church is the parenthetical thing in the dispensations or the age. We live in now the church age. From the cross of Christ when he died until present, very second minute I'm talking right now, we're still in the church age. Now when this event takes place, he'll put the last parentheses on it, we'll be out. We'll be out, then the tribulation comes. So just a reiteration, the tribulation is for Israel. Now that brings to light several things, okay? As he says in 1 Thessalonians, you're not of the darkness, you're of the light. You are not of that day. You're not prepared for the day. Talking about that. Now coming back to, we will be removed from this. Now, thinking through this, the only reason they were terrified is because they expected a pre-tribulational rapture and believed they'd missed it. Doesn't that make sense? They were terrified. Well, Lord, Paul, what did we do? We missed it. I think we're living in the time. We're living in... No, Paul says, no. Don't be troubled. Again, as I said last week, Paul would have written some more warning to them if they were going to go through this horrendous 7 years. You know, he would have given them instruction. But he doesn't. He says, comfort your hearts. Comfort each other. Be encouraged with the hope that we have. Right? So, very clearly. Now, let's look at these two events that are going to take place, indicative that precede that day of the Lord. Number one is the falling away first. That's called the apostasia. That's the great apostasy of the church. The last church of Revelation, do you know what it is? It's the church of Laodicea. Remember that? The word laos, or lay, we get our word lay from, lay men or lay people. It's the people. You're a layman or a laywoman of the church. You're not of the clergy, if you want to say that. You're laos of the people. It's the people's rights. And that's what the church was. He said, well, what do you want in a church? Well, pastor, we want this, this, and that, but don't preach on this and don't preach on that. That's not for the people to decide, right? We preach the whole counsel of God. Paul says to Timothy, preach the word, period. And so thinking about that, the great apostasy that will come, do we see that today? Absolutely, don't we? You have a guy, I just saw the message recently, Joel Osteen. He had a Hollywood elite come to his church and sit on the platform. This man he's a director and an actor and something else. Now, listen, nothing wrong with that, but I'm saying this. He gave a message and he told him basically, just keep pushing on. keep moving forward. Don't let your failures in life keep you down. Keep going, and around the corner, you're going to find success. That's a good message, right? Good. It's all fluff, isn't it? Where's the doctrine? Where's the salvation? Why don't you tell people, listen, it's not that you get yourself and pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. It's that you dedicate your life to Christ. He's the only answer. I can't fix myself. I need the Holy Spirit to come in and fix me, right? I'm just saying, we see a great falling away even today, but it will get even worse as we go along. I hate to be doom and gloom tonight, but it's getting worse, right? Evil men and seducers, they shall wax worse and worse. So we're seeing that happen, the great apostasy that's coming. We have so much we could go over with that apostasy, but it's a falling away. Definition of apostasy, again, I said, is a willful turning from the truth. A willful turning from the truth. It's not that, oh, Lord, I didn't know I was deceived. I'm not sure I didn't have all the information. No, you knew it and you turned from it anyways. And we see that all over the world today, especially in churches. So-called Christians that easily fall away. Secondly, and that's what we'll get into tonight, the heart of it, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Son of perdition. Now, the son of perdition is likened to several people. Now, I have this little handout because I want you to see this, and I apologize for the bad copy job, but I copied it out of a book. And so, but I want you to look at the comparisons of Christ and the Antichrist. Very interesting. And I know most of you know this, but hey, brother, could you run those to them back there? Thank you very much. But notice that, if you will. Do you kids want one too? Do we have any left? Well, you have to share it. Can you share that over? Okay, they got it. But I want you to see this. Very interesting. Now, again, in Scripture, as you see this here, Christ and Antichrist, very similar. He parallels Christ very closely. And again, but he's a fake. He's a fraud. Now, throughout Scripture, again, I already said, but there are somewhat, and what we call types or typology in the Bible, there's somewhere around 18 to 20 types of Christ throughout the Bible. And there's something like, I believe it's 21 or something types of an Antichrist throughout Scripture, right? You understand. So the very beginning, we have the first type of Christ, who is Abel. Abel comes. What does he do? He offers righteousness. He's a man. It says in the Scriptures, in Hebrews, the righteous blood of Abel, what? Cries out from the ground. So he's righteous. Who was the Antichrist of Abel? It was Cain. Or the anti-type. There's a type and an anti-type. We can go throughout Scripture and continue. I mean, Joseph, we looked at that in our Bible Institute. Man, he parallels Christ so well. There was anti-type or Christ. Esther saved the people. Haman, right? And on we could go throughout Scripture. Daniel, David, all of them are pictures of or types of Christ with an anti-Christ. There's an opposer to him, and to his will, and to his mission or his calling. Now we come through this. Notice these here, very interesting, right? He has a worthy name. He has blasphemous names in Revelation 13. He's married to a virtuous bride. He's married to a vile prostitute, Revelation 17. He's crowned with many crowns. He's crowned with 10 crowns. He's a king of kings. He's called the king. He sits on a throne, sharp sword out of his mouth, bow in his hand. There's so much we could cover tonight, thinking about it, but the sign of the bowman, have you ever studied that? Have you seen the Catholic paintings where they're all doing this, you know? Or in the medieval times, they all did this. And it's the sign of the bowman. It's a picture of the Antichrist that will come soon. So we have to be careful about all of those things. We won't get into that tonight anyways. Okay, but study that for yourself. So many parallels here. I heard somebody say recently, I never thought about this in the world, but I thought it was genius. Do you remember when they're sitting at the table with Jesus, the Lord's Last Supper? And he says what? Who's going to betray you, Lord? And the Lord looks and says, whoever dips the what? The sop, S-O-P, in the bowl. Well, what is he described here as? Son of perdition, S-O-P. Is that not genius? Now write that down because you're going to use that. You use that on your own. You can impress somebody. He says, dip in the sop. Who is Judas? He's a picture of the Antichrist, isn't he? Or a type of. So you think about that. Now notice here as we continue. That man of sin be revealed the son of perdition. Okay? So Lord willing, we're going to be out of here. Immediately, he will rise to power. Now again, a couple things we talked about already, and I don't want to belabor this stuff, I apologize. But setting up right now, I believe that he will rise in power. They will see everything that goes on. The European Union, the United Nations, they will all come together. And they will come under this man, and he will have a tremendous economic plan. He'll have a tremendous social plan, everything, a financial plan. And they all come to him. And what he does now, he's going to give the characteristics of this. Now, setting up now, they're seeking to bring together a world government. People say, where's the United States in prophecy? We don't find it in prophecy, do we? I believe personally it's going to come under the guise or come under that one world order. There'll be no more names of nations. It will all be one, right? One world order that will come into play. Okay, so let me move on. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all, notice this, all that is called God, or that is worshipped. He will abolish all worship of anything God, Jesus, Bible, church, anything, and make them worship him. So that he as God, there it is, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now the question arises, what temple? There's no temple. They destroyed the temple. Well, you know this, and maybe you've studied it, and I encourage you to study it as well. They're in the works right now to build the third temple. Right? The third temple. I read this morning on the Jerusalem Post. He said, right now, the third temple is in preparation. The ritual garments and the ritual vessels of the temple have already been designed and created, and they are waiting now just to build the temple. Is that amazing? They've already made all the vessels. Remember the vessels they're supposed to have in the temple. They made all the garments that they're supposed to wear. Remember? Leviticus. It's all ready to go. They're just waiting to build it. They're waiting to... Now, again, thinking about this. I believe he's going to set that temple up as God, and he's going to show himself that he is God. Notice what he's saying. I'm God. I told you I'm God. Well, I guess he's right. He's sitting in the temple. I am God. You come to me. I am performing things that only God can do. Now, verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? Question. Paul says, remember, I already told you this, and I want you to be clear on this. I want you to know these things, church, that you're not deceived. And now ye know, verse 6, what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Does iniquity already work today? Yeah, absolutely. It's all around us. It's sick. It's vile. I mean, you go to Skid Row today in our own city, in our own biggest city in our state, right 30 minutes over the mountain. It's terrible. The homelessness, I mean, the drug. We are on our, I think he said, 55th homicide since January in Albuquerque. What? I mean, there's one, I can't believe it. And it's probably more than that. Don't quote. I couldn't remember what he said. Some around that. But you think about it. Now, the mystery of iniquity already works. You wonder, how can people be so vile? You ever think of that? It's a mystery. How can people be so wicked? It already works. Notice, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Okay, again, a clarification here. The word letteth there does not mean how we say it today. It means to allow. The word actually means to hinder or impede, or the little literal translation is to retard, to keep back. So he who now holds back or hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Okay. We'll be taken out of here. And then that wicked shall be revealed. Right? That wicked, capital W, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Do you notice here that God's always in control? Isn't that wonderful? Now you think, why would he allow them to go through that? He has not called us home yet. Therefore, he's not willing that any should perish. We know he's waiting and waiting, giving people more time to come to a saving knowledge, giving kids, children, grandparents, family, people with cancer, others to repent. Isn't it wonderful to think about? But there is coming an end day. There's coming an end to all of this. Again, he will be revealed whom the Lord shall consume. Okay, now notice verse 9. He gives some descriptive things about this Antichrist. Again, by the way, Antichrist is not used until John, 1 John. He says there's many Antichrists, right? This is the Antichrist that will come. Okay, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. This man will be able to perform things that will get people in awe. Have you ever seen these magicians? The current day, not the old, you know, 30s and 40s magicians, you know, that pulled a rabbit out of the hat. Woo! No, these guys today, I can't think of a couple. I think one guy, David Blaine and a couple of them, they do some tricks, man, that will make your head spin. I mean, this guy's levitating off the ground. He's pulling fire up out of his hands. And all the kind of, how in the world? I'm just saying, he's going to be able to do things that get people attention. Do you remember when Moses and Aaron went in to see Pharaoh? And what happened? And the Lord told him, throw your staff down on the ground. And it turned into a snake. And the magician said, we could do that. They threw theirs down, turned into a snake. I love it though. Moses or Aaron's came over, ate their snake, swallowed them up. They went, ah. Remember the blood in the river? They did it. How did they do it? I believe, obviously, it's a demonic power. And these people are demonic. This man is led by Satan. Notice what it says. Whose coming is after the working of Satan. Satan is empowering this man, giving him the power. We see that today. Just evil work. Evil work. Satanic work. How can a young man go in and kill children? He's satanic. Right? Oh, he's just messed up and he's satanic. I don't know how else to say that. He's demon-possessed. The music he listens to, the drugs he was coming out now, what he was involved with, all the drug use and the satanic music and all the occultish stuff. I'm telling you, this is exactly what's going on. The working of Satan, all power. He will have power. He will be able to tell the leaders of these nations, mighty nations, the presidents, prime ministers, he will tell them what to do. No, you go back and do this. He has power over nations. He has power over people. He has signs, lying wonders. Again, there it is. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Deceivableness of unrighteousness, by the way, deceives you. Sin deceives you. Sin always offers you more than it really is. Hey, you can have this, nobody will find out. Wrong, you find out. Wrong, she's pregnant. Wrong, venereal diseases. Wrong, right? You think about it. This is what we think about. It is always deceivable. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. God still got his hand out. Would you be saved? Would you be saved? Would you be saved? You remember what Isaiah talks about? The arm of the Lord is still extended. Isn't that wonderful? But what do they say? No. And then in Revelation it says, and they're reaping down when the fire is falling on them and consuming them. What are they saying? Forgive me, Lord, save me. What do they say? It says they're cursing God while they're being destroyed, like Sodom and Gomorrah. They're cursing God, blaspheming God. So you understand that. Notice that. That they might be saved. There's an opportunity. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. When you take and are deceived or receive the deception, the deceivableness, it always brings delusion. Deceiving or deception always brings delusion. You see these cults, of these leaders. You wonder how these people could follow this creep, you know, this weirdo. They're deceived, one, because they don't know the Bible. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. We have a standard by which we prove everything. So when this bozo comes and says, you need to come and follow me. You need to follow me. They go, okay. The Lord spoke to me and told me that I should lead you. And by the way, I should have your wife and children as well. They'll become mine. Oh, okay. Whatever the Lord says. No, ding dong. You open your Bible. You know the Bible. We prove it by the standard, right? That's what he says. And they follow it. They're deceived and then it brings delusion. They become delusional. And they think he's the Messiah, right? You've studied some of these cults and other things. There's a guy, it was about probably 15 years ago or so, but he's over in the Ukraine, I think. But he wears a white robe, has long hippie hair. He's white, of course, with blue eyes. And he says he's Jesus Christ incarnate. And he's got a big following. And he walks around, you know, very pious, and I'm Jesus Christ, and There's several things that, you know, we want to point out to you. First of all, right, you're not of the right race, okay? You're not of several things. But people follow him around, and what is he? He's an antichrist. He's an antichrist. And Jesus warned us of this in the gospel. He says what? Beware, because there will be many that come and say what? I am the Christ. But how do we prove that? How do we prove that? He says, I'm glad you asked. I gave you a directional manual. I gave you a information guide. I gave you a roadmap in the Word of God. How do we know that? But he sends strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You reject God enough times, comes the delusion. People that reject Christ enough and reject the gospel, there's a limit to that. God is all merciful. He's extended. He's long-suffering. There's a limit, though, and that's what we warn people with. If you're a saved individual and you're living in sin, God will bring the chastening hand of God into your life. That's indicative of you being a child of His. Right? You don't go around spanking other people's kids, although you want to. You spank your own. Maybe not a good job at that. Right? That's what God, you're one of His children. So He's going to take care of you. He's going to correct you. So thinking through that, understanding it, we're a part of His children. They're going to believe a lie that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. A key mark. Paul tells Timothy again, you remember in 2 Timothy 3? In the latter days, in the last times, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, blah, 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 blah. What's he say? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And shame on you as a Christian if you find more delight in pleasure than in God. Preaching to myself. Right? That's hard. When you put it on the shelf, God and pleasure, you look at the two and you go, whew, I'll go with pleasure. I know I should study the Word of God. I know I shouldn't say that. I know I shouldn't watch that. I know I shouldn't go. I'll go ahead and choose pleasure, though. Isn't that true? That's indicative of the last times. They have pleasure in unrighteousness. Why don't you find pleasure in righteousness? That's where we find our pleasure, isn't it, as Christians? I find pleasure in spending time with the Lord, finding pleasure in reading the Bible, finding pleasure. Now, it takes work. You don't just wake up one morning, praise God, I get to read through Leviticus. I just got through Leviticus, and woo, man, that's a long one. That's a tough one. But it's interesting. It takes time, it takes work. Okay, anyways, let's finish this out. Okay, thank you for being patient and listening. Now he concludes here, verse 13, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So he's saying God has not chosen you, as we saw in 1 Thessalonians, He's not chosen you to wrath, He's chosen you to salvation and to sanctification and to glorification. Three things. This does not mean he's predetermined who's saved and not saved. Notice what he says. Belief of the truth. Okay? You believe the truth. The will of the man. We have will that we choose. We decide. It's up to us. But God has chosen us from the beginning to be saved, if you will, through sanctification. Interesting. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Paul's not warning him. Now be careful, be warned, get prepared, man. Get all the things stocked up in your tank and dig a big hole and put a big shed underground, you know, a portable thing, and get ready. And no, he's saying comfort your hearts. Be ready. We're going to be out of here before this man of sin is revealed. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And our Lord Jesus Christ, Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. There it is. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So again, just a comforting to the people. Halfway of this 7-year tribulation, we're going to look at this a little more next week. This man of sin is going to be in the temple. He's going to, by the way, reenact the animal sacrifices in the temple, which was abolished. He's going to bring it all back in. And what's that going to do for the Jews? The Jews right now are looking for their Messiah. Anyone been to Israel? Any here? Nobody? We got to take a trip. That'd be fun. But if you go to Israel right now and talk to people on the street, the Jews, real Jews, authentic Jews, None of them believe in Jesus Christ. There are some Messianic Jews. But none of them believe in Yeshua, the Messiah. They're still waiting for their Messiah to come, aren't they? And what's going to happen? This man's going to rise up. Some people, I believe personally, he's going to be a Jewish man of a Jewish lineage. But he's going to rise up. He's going to tell them everything sweet and fancy, and I'm going to take you, and we're going to rebuild the temple. He's got to be the Messiah. He's going to reenact the temple, the sacrifices, animal sacrifices. He's got to be the Messiah. He's got to be. Halfway through, 3.5 years, according to Daniel, he's going to turn around on the Jews and go, I lied to you. I'm sorry. And the armies from the north are now waiting at your gates. Turkey, Russia, others, the European Union, they're all coming down, and they'll be here in about an hour, and they're going to annihilate all of you. He's going to turn on them. And it's going to be a horrific time. Now, by God's grace, those Jews will then realize he is not the Messiah. Yeshua is the Messiah. Sad to say, many won't. But anyways, they're still looking for the Messiah. See? And that's what's going to happen. So all these things are coming into play. All these things. They want a one world order, a one world government to unify everybody. They want you to get a license to do everything and anything. Right? So they can have control. They just passed, I think they're about to pass a bill, I don't know if they have, in Canada. Did you see that? Banning all assault rifles, banning almost all things to do with that. Now, whatever you believe on that, but you just see some of this coming down the pipeline. They're trying to control, bring us all together, one world order, one world government. My friends, tonight, though, I want to encourage you with that. We know who's in control. We know who wins. And I pray that you won't be a part of this tribulation. I hope you're saved. You know you're saved tonight. Again, I say I believe most of you are, but I pray you know that for sure. You do not want to be caught off guard and go through this time and through this period. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you for listening tonight. A lot to talk about. We'll get into chapter 3 next week, cover more of this event of the tribulation that's going to come because it's going to be a horrendous time. I want you to study, though, for yourselves a lot of this and look at it and really look at these parallels with the Christ and the Antichrist. And by the way, we do not and never should be deceived as a child of God. Not one time. We know our Bibles. Those that are deceived, let them be deceived. They don't know the Scriptures. But those of you that have a Bible in your hand right now, you should never be deceived. We have the Scriptures. We know what we believe and why we believe it. Amen and amen. Okay. Lord, thank you for another opportunity to share your word tonight. These folks have been so faithful. I thank you for their faithfulness, not only in attendance, but, Lord, their faithfulness to the word of God and in prayer. I know they're anticipating your return. We're all anticipating you calling us home and taking us out of here. And the events that will unfold after that, Lord willing, we'll get to look at a little bit more in the weeks ahead. As we see what will take place with the marriage supper of the Lamb, the judgment seat, the rewards that we will receive, and then, Lord, ultimately we come back down with you to rule and reign for the millennium. And Father, we thank you again for your great grace. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Thank you that we can rejoice tonight in the truth and anticipation of hope. We love and thank you again. Be with those here tonight the rest of their week. Protect them, Lord, as they work and travel and other things they do. Bring us back again, as I said, on Sunday. We love and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.